message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Somebody excited to be in God's presence tonight, shout a big hallelujah. Somebody happy to be in God's presence tonight, shout a living hallelujah. Somebody that knows that this month is indeed his or her month, shout a big hallelujah. You are not going back empty-handed in Jesus' name. You are not going back empty-handed in Jesus' name. I welcome you again into this second month, into the second day of the eighth month of this year, 2017. And I know that the Lord will bless you more than you can ever imagine in the name of Jesus. You will not return back empty-handed in Jesus' name. We have been on a fast for the past 3 days. And tonight is the grand finale of that fast to launch us fully into the month of August. And this August shall be very wonderful for you. This August shall be very, very wonderful for you. This August shall be very, very wonderful for you. An August visitor will visit your destiny. Something August will visit you. Something that will make you to never ever forget this month for good and for righteousness will visit your life. There is a month whereby in one's life one cannot forget. And I pray for somebody here today, this August shall be that month for you. There is a month that there's a turnaround in every life. This month of August shall be that month for you. Suddenly, things will turn around for your good. Things will turn around for your good. All the days of your life, you will never forget this month of August 2017. It shall be like 1,000 months for you. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. I welcome you to God's presence. And for the first time in the history of our ministry, we are moving a particular series from the second month, from the third week of a month into another month. This is to allow for proper and more intense learning. We have been treating the series on prospering in recession, and we started this series 2 weeks ago. And in order to be able to further address the issues relating to prosperity and blessings for the people, we are moving this series on our Wednesday services on in this month, at least till when God wants to help to where he has helped us to. And I pray that you will never lack in Jesus' name. And our Sunday services throughout this month, we're teaching on supernatural. And I trust that somebody here is going to experience supernatural elevation in Jesus' name. You will not be on the ground again. Prospering in recession. This is part what? Okay, great. Prospering in recession. Part 3. And you can also put in bracket, overcoming major causes of poverty. Overcoming the major causes of poverty. Poverty shall be terminated in somebody's life tonight. I'll be very fast so as to be able to catch up with another important program in the church. And I know that your life will never be the same again. God's desire for you is to prosper. God's desire for you is to enjoy surplus. And prosperity means making progress and having enough for oneself and family and surplus to share to others. When you say this man is prospering, it means he or she has enough for his or herself and to give to others. Surplus. That is the realm you and I are launching into finally in the name of Jesus. I'd like to hear your loud amen. It is possible to prosper even in recession. It is possible. Our fathers prospered in recession, like I said in the last two teachings. Abraham was in recession and he prospered. Isaac was in a recession, he prospered. Jacob was in a recession and he prospered. Joseph was in a recession to the extent that people were practically almost eating themselves. They were giving themselves as slaves. They take us, just give us food to eat. And he still had more than enough. You will have more than enough. You will have more than enough. And God speaking in 3 John verse 2, the Bible says that I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospereth. So God's intention for you is to prosper. In Psalm 35 verse 27, the Bible says in the B part, the Bible says God delights in the prosperity of his servants. God is happy when you are prosperous. Psalm 35:27. His desire is that you prosper, and you will indeed prosper. Amen. Your family will prosper. Amen. Your home will prosper. Amen. I'd like to hear a good amen. Amen. Everything about you will prosper. Amen. In the name of Jesus. But to prosper, you need to know the truth. John chapter 8 verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The purpose of the truth is to remove a man or a woman permanently out of poverty and lack. The work of the truth is to deliver, to liberate, to bring one out of the prison of life. Everyone in the prison of lack and insufficiency, from tonight you are coming out permanently. I say you are coming out permanently. Quickly tonight, what are the major causes of poverty? At least the little we can take tonight. What are the major causes of poverty? Number one major cause of poverty is anxiety or fear. Anxiety or fear. Fear is a killer. Fear is a destroyer. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make all your requests known unto God. Don't let anything make you anxious. That is, don't live in fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God does not intend that you should live and abide in fear. Fear is a torment. Anxiety is a destroyer. Anyone that wants to escape poverty must put his trust in God. Anyone that wants to live in prosperity must escape, because fear puts man in chains. If God gives you a vision to start a business and you are in fear, you can't start it. If God gives you a vision or tells you to start or to do something, you can't do it because you are living in fear. Fear is a spiritual chain that keeps a man perpetually incapacitated without motion. A man or a woman in fear cannot take critical decisions. He can't do anything. And fear affects every part of life. It affects prosperity. It affects studies. It affects marriage. If you see a guy who lives in fear, he sees a lady he likes, he has prayed to God, and God said, this is your wife. And then he goes to her. Hello, I appreciate you. He comes back again. Hello, I appreciate you. He says, I appreciate you like 1,200 times. Until another person goes behind his back and says something, and the girl says, okay, fine, let's go on. Fear affects every aspect of life. Anxiety is a destroyer of destiny. I want to charge you today to build your faith and expunge your fear. Build your faith, cast out your fear. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to worry about. You don't need to worry. There's nothing to fear because God is by your side. There's nothing to fear because he that is with you is more than he that is in the world. Fear is a destroyer. Anxiety is a sign of lack of faith. And the spirit of fear arrests destinies from prospering. And I pray for somebody here today. Every traces of fear of the future, fear of taking steps, that fear is cast out in Jesus' name. I say that fear is cast out in Jesus' name. You know, when the devil wants to keep one in poverty, he will introduce fear. So you can't take any step. You can't do anything. What God shows you, you can't pray about it. You can't take any move. You can't make any move. You are just perpetually on the spot. You want to look for a job, he will tell you there's no job. But tonight, you are escaping every trace of fear in Jesus' name. You are escaping every trace of fear in Jesus' name. And the solution to the issue of fear is to build your faith. Build your faith. Walk on your faith. And Romans chapter 10 verse 17 tells us how faith comes. The more you listen to the word of God, the more faith comes. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. The more of the word you listen to. That's why those who don't listen to the word often are always faithless. Those who are always absent from the presence of God, they perpetually live in fear. But tonight you are escaping fear. I say you are escaping fear. When you hear people like us say, there's nobody we can fear. There's nothing we can fear. There's nothing that's coming that our God cannot. It is because of the deposit base of faith. It wasn't like that before. It was as a direct result of heavy feeding. Someone say heavy feeding. Not physical food though. Heavy feeding spiritually. When you feed heavily, your faith level goes to another level. Somebody's here tonight. Your faith is taking a flight tonight. I say your faith is taking a flight tonight. Faith to take daring steps that your mates can ordinarily not take. That faith comes on you today. That faith comes on you today. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. Number two major cause of poverty is spiritual attack. Sometimes the devil also attacks people's finances. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, Ephesians 6 verse 12, the Bible says, speaking there, that we wage war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. These four forces attack people's finances. That's why you see some people, they work so hard, yet there's nothing to show. 3, 4, 5 jobs, all at the same time, yet nothing to show. And someone is doing only one job, he has so much. It's as a direct result of satanic bewitchment of your pocket. Putting hole in their pocket spiritually now, not physically. So everything they have, they don't understand how it is spent. Everything they have, they cannot explain how it is spent. I was on evangelism some time ago and I met a lady who was telling me the problem that her sister had, very rich before, suddenly went down the drain. I said, what happened to this woman? What happened to this woman? He said, somebody came into the house. A lady was allowed to, a young girl was allowed to stay in the house who was bewitched. And who will pack all the money in their business inside an iroko tree in the spiritual realm. When they make money, they have a big store, big organization. And if they make 1 million, it will pack like 950 out of it. And pack it and deposit it inside the iroko tree in the witchcraft realm. And before you know it, within a short time, somebody that can write a check of 5 million, 10 million, 20 million before was now a person that to pay children's school fees in university was a problem. To pay children's school fees was a problem. I pray for somebody here tonight. Anybody bewitching you, anybody trying to suck your wealth in the spiritual realm, God will use his fire to curse them tonight. God will use his fire to curse them tonight. Everyone that wants you to be laboring like an elephant and to be eating like an ant, tonight God will frustrate their agenda. Tonight, God will frustrate their agenda. Sometimes you see some people, they work so hard. They do all the things they're supposed to do. But at the end of the day, you see, that they don't have anything to show. A lot of times, it is because they have been bewitched from the spiritual realm. The devil knows if they are rich, then they can help others. Then they can be a blessing to the society, and he doesn't want them to. And I say tonight, anyone that wants to keep you at a low level perpetually, the fire of God will roast them tonight. The fire of God will roast them tonight. The fire of God will destabilize them tonight. The Bible says in John chapter 10 verse 10 that the enemy coming but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The work of the enemy is to steal people's money. I heard of the story of somebody who will make money and bring the money home, and demonic rats will enter the house at night and go to where he kept the money and use the amount to pick it and leave the house. You know, things happen. Things happen. Things happen. I pray for somebody here tonight. You will escape their trap. Amen. You will escape their schemes. Amen. You will escape their attacks. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Number three major cause of poverty is borrowing, especially borrowing for leisure. Borrowing. Perpetual chronic borrowing. Now, there are some people that in this world, there is nothing they don't borrow. Underwear, they borrow toothpick, they borrow salt. There is nobody they cannot borrow from. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 7, that the borrower is a servant to the lender. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant. In fact, you must know that God destined us to have more than enough. His plan for you is to have excess. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. He wants you to lend unto nations, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I commanded this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations. Oh, sorry, verse 12, not 1. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Amen. Let me hear you say a big amen. Amen. The heaven to give the rain unto thy land in its season. Amen. And to bless all the work of thy hand. Amen. And thou shalt lend unto nations. Amen. And thou shalt not borrow. Amen. Borrowing is anti-covenant. Your actual place is lending. Especially when your borrowing is a direct result of pleasure seeking. Especially when your borrowing is, somebody has a phone working very well, and he sees another phone, he said the phone just came out, and he says, please borrow me $35,000 to buy this phone. It doesn't make sense. Your friend says, follow me to a shop. You don't have money. You are still managing yourself. And you see nice shoes. You say, each one costs $15,000. And you say, please, can you borrow me money for three shoes? What is it for? What is it for? Many's headache, many's blood pressure problem is a direct result of borrowing, especially excessive borrowing. Yes, and borrowing is a direct result of, most of the time, a direct result of non-contentment. Most of the time. And then you see people locking their doors against our lenders. You see people tell their children, when they come, just tell them, I've seen them at the gate, tell them I'm not at home. And the children now begin to graduate in lies. I say, if daddy can do it, I can do it. One of the major issues in Africa is lack of value for money. When they need money, the first thing that comes to an average African mind is, where do I borrow the money? A lot of times, the little we have, we feel it's not enough. Whereas it's more than enough. The Bible says, a borrower is servant to the lender. So as much as possible, avoid borrowing. Instead, be a lender. Instead, be a person that blesses others. You have more than enough with you. What you have is somebody else's prayer point. Hello? I say what you have is somebody else's prayer point. What you say is not enough. Somebody else is begging, if only I can have this. If only you can give me this that you have given this person. My prayer for everyone here tonight is that God will take you to the realm of surplus. I know somebody will say, Pastor, you can say that. It's very easy for you to say that. I can read your mind. It's very easy for you to say that, you see. But you see, this is the truth of the matter. This is God's intention for you. I will be lying if I tell you otherwise. Which I'm not permitted to. Every Christian that wants to escape poverty must live a life that a life of contentment. You must get to a level whereby you believe that whatever you don't have, it means that God doesn't want you to have it at that time. When He wants you to have it, He will give it to you. If this church was a borrowing church, many of us will not be coming here again, because every time I come on this, people will be asking for money from you. Somebody once said, what kind of church is this, sir? Whereby, since I've been here, I've not heard any raising of money. How do you people do it? The person told me. Ask me that question. Avoid it. Well, don't allow people to just come to you and bring all sorts of goods. Things you don't need. They just bring it to you. This wristwatch is very, very nice. Nobody has this kind in a lorry. It's a lie. And the wristwatch is 100,000, but because you're my friend, I'll give you 90,000. Won't you see the time like my own? The wristwatch of 90,000 and the wristwatch of 900 naira, which will still show me that the time is to 7. Why am I giving myself a headache? It's not necessary. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Number 4, major cause of poverty is stinginess. Akagomistic lifestyle. Akagomistic lifestyle. In the scriptures, people always quote Philippians 4, verse 19. For my God shall supply all my needs according to riches. But that scripture starts from 15. It's as a result of the lifestyle of the Philippians that provoked that prayer. It says, now ye Philippians, you know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Can you see that? Nobody was into giving and receiving, despite my going around for ministrations, giving and receiving, ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I didn't desire it. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. When you give, a blessing abounds to your account. That's why the Bible says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, verse 18 says, but I have all, and I abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, but my God shall... That's what prompted that prayer. Everyone that wants to escape poverty and lack must escape from the life of stinginess. You must totally, because every giver is qualified to be a receiver. Everyone that is releasing will be receiving. In Luke 6 verse 38, the Bible said that give and shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. So when you give, you are bound to receive. But when you don't give, there's nothing that can happen. Every stingy person ends up a poor person. Every stingy person ends up a poor person. Everyone stingy ends up a poor person. Everyone stingy ends up... While I was coming to church yesterday, I was driving, I saw a guy that made a statement about 6 years ago, not a member of this church. He was just talking, and he said, I can't give her. I met him on the road, and I was showing some people who were with me in the car. I said, did you see that person? They didn't see the person. Can you imagine passing by somebody who is an elderly person, and then you don't even recognize that the person passed by? It shows how infinitesimal the person's life has become. Because he said, I can't, I don't want to. Your giving is, you are not helping anybody by giving, you are helping yourself. Your giving to somebody is not a help to that person per se. It's a help to yourself. Because that is what keeps you permanently in surplus. A pipe that allows water to flow through it will never run dry. You can't run dry. If water flows, but a pipe that is dry will become rusty and stinking. If you open it like this, smell will come out. They put water, it will become very dirty because nothing is flowing. Let blessings flow in you. And listen to me, it is not about the size of what you have that matters when we are talking about giving. Giving is in levels. You give according to your level. If I want to give God a sacrifice now, and I give him a figure that is small, that is not my level, he might not accept it because he knows my present level. He knows my level. If you want to give God something, or you want to give somebody something and it's something small, it might be at your own level. So giving is in levels. Give according to your level. Do you know that even a poor person is not permitted not to give, or else he will die in poverty? He will die a poor person. A pastor that doesn't give will die a poor pastor. He will die. He will be. If you see him like this, poverty will be smelling on him. He will be sweating on him like petrol. Have you seen people that touch petrol before? You will know that this person just touched petrol. When you see a poor person, there is no way you will say this person is poor. This is as a result of stinginess and lack. And some people are so stingy. They are stingy to God. They are stingy to their family. They are stingy to the parent. They are stingy to church. They are stingy every. They are even stingy to themselves. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I said the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So, extract yourself from the company of the stingy. When was the last time you gave? When was the last time you released? Your hand released. Your hand released. The more you release, the more you give. The more you receive from God. You will not operate under a closed heaven. And I'm not talking about tithe tonight. Because giving is beyond tithe. There are many kinds of giving. There are many classes of giving. There are many areas of giving. And the more you give, the more you receive. The more you give, the more you receive. The more, for example, as a church, one of the reasons why this our church, our ministry can never be in lack is because this is a tithing ministry. It's a giving ministry. There's nothing the devil can do about it. We can't be blessed. And everybody who is tithing, and we are tithing the person's tithe, he must be blessed. You will never lack. Number 5 reason for poverty is lack of knowledge. Proverbs 19 verse 2. Proverbs 19 verse 2. Lack of knowledge. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. It is not good. In Isaiah 5, verse 13, the Bible explains to us that, you see, when a man lacks knowledge, Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. No person without knowledge can be prosperous. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Knowledge brings financial wealth. Knowledge brings stability. Isaiah 33 verse 6. The Bible says, knowledge shall be the stability of your times. So when you have knowledge, your business is stable. Your business is stable so it can produce profit. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your time. I pray for somebody here, you remain very stable. I say you remain very, very stable. The financial flow into your life will be very stable. The financial flow to your family shall be very stable. The reason why some, their finances are like this, haphazard, is because there's no knowledge. Knowledge is what makes you know that little multiplies. It's knowledge that makes you to know that little multiplies. As young as I am, there was a time I was a small baby that somebody was carrying around. Somebody was backing me. That's knowledge. What does that tell you? Where you are now is not the end. Knowledge will tell you that whatever you are doing, keep at it. The time will come where you will outgrow it. That's knowledge. And knowledge is a direct product of the level of fear of God that you're operating with. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. If you fear God, He will implant knowledge into you. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The more you and I fear God, the more we are knowledgeable. The more He opens our mind up to knowledge. I pray for you tonight, a baptism of the fear of God comes on you today. There is no way a man or woman that lacks the fear of God will not end poor at the end of the day. Because without the fear of God, you can't be knowledgeable. And without knowledge, you can't be prosperous. But you will never know poverty forever. In the name of Jesus. So get knowledge through the fear of God. Get knowledge through the fear of God. Let the fear of God rule your heart. Let the fear of God rule your walk and everything that you do. Reject every traces of ignorance. Don't be an ignorant Christian. Acquire knowledge. Study the word. Get something from the word that can boost your knowledge. I discovered early in life that if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. From knowledge. If you don't give your best to what you are doing, you can't get anything. Half input or little input brings little output. You can fake it. The more you put in into what you are doing, the more the Lord will bless it. I pray for somebody here today. You will never lack knowledge. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Number six, cause of poverty is wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. Your thought determines your lot in life. Proverbs 23 verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So watch your thoughts. You need to maintain the right perspective in life to attract prosperity. Poverty thought will attract poverty into one's life. You must guide your thinking if you want to be prosperous. Don't think poor. Don't let your mind always ruminate around poverty and lack. Think sufficiency. Think abundance. Don't let your mind always tell you it is not possible. I want to buy that car. How can I get the money? It is not possible. I want to travel abroad. It is not possible. No, that's not the mind of a Christian. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let your mind think positively always. Let your mind think positively always. Let your mind be, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let the kind of mind that was in Christ also be in you. I pray for somebody here tonight, that kind of mind is coming for you in Jesus' name. Don't let your mind be that you remind of a prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 from verse 11. Bible said there was a man who had two sons. And one of them walked to the father and said, give me what is mine. His thinking was wrong. He collected what was his inheritance from his father and walked into prostitution. He used his two legs to squander the money in nightclubs. He smoked, he drank, and then he spent all. Somebody say he spent all. May you not spend all. I say, may you not spend all. May you not spend all. He spent all. He was in lack. To the extent that the Bible says that he lacked to the extent that he was looking for pig food to eat. His thinking was wrong. He was not patient. And there are many, many, many wrong thoughts that can bring us into poverty. One of them is bitterness thoughts against the rich. Whenever you see a rich person, you say, hey, we don't even know where they are getting the money from. All those kind of things are negative thoughts. Listen to me. You can't attract what you despise. Anything you speak against, you can't attract it. Any grace you want to tap. When I'm driving, as I was driving this morning, I saw one very solid car. Ah! They tinted the glass and they covered the plate number. You cannot say this person driving that car. That car is something else. I now slowed down because it came out from somewhere. We met at a junction. I slowed down. I allowed it to go. I now pursued. I said, what is the name of this car? There was no name. They did not put any name there. I was peeping. Who is the one inside this car? Very soon, you will get to that level. I said, very soon, you will get to that level. I can't hear your amen, no. I mean, you are too spiritual to be prosperous, nigga. Very soon, God will take you to that level. Don't speak. Some people, if they see that kind of thing, they will be dragging road with them. As if they want to bash the car. And wind down and say, you are crazy, you are crazy. Is it because of your money? You are mad. Oh, a cocaine pusher. Cocaine pusher. Who told you that? Our father and the Lord Bishop David Oyedepo, when they bought the first private jet in the ministry, people started talking nonsense. They did not, people that did not contribute kobo. Kobo to the purchase of the airplane. They started talking nonsense. This one, that. And this plane was bought as a tool for evangelism. Because sometimes as a pastor, when you are traveling for a meeting, you just finished a meeting here on Friday morning, you have another meeting in Ghana, Friday night, Saturday morning, you have another meeting, and you have to fly back to your church. Sometimes it can be very, very tedious. It can be very, very, at that level, with churches all over the world. That was the purpose, that was the reason, not for anything. Let me tell you this, great men, most of the time, don't think the way we think. Sometimes we think that people that are prosperous and doing very well, all they are thinking of is material things, is a lie. They don't eat as much as many people eat. I used to have a driver sometimes, many years ago. Immediately he comes to work like this, he will first eat like 7 wraps of fufu. So when he drives me somewhere, he will now put AC on and pull the seat and sleep off. So when I get, you have to knock the window like this. He has slept off. Well, sometimes I'm in endless fast, praying. I'll be at the back praying. He will be doing Google like this. Continuously with Coke. After Coke, we get to toll gate again. He will wind down. Like I said, I come. And one day I say, your mouth know the rest. May the Lord give us understanding. Don't speak against people doing well. Don't do it. When you see them, thank God for them. And tell God, God, you are the one that did this one. Do my own too. Because you know, the Bible says God is not a respecter of person. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. God is not a respecter of person. What he has done for somebody else, he will do it for you. Don't speak against anybody. Don't try it. If you see a scholar in your department, don't say, it's because she's sleeping with lecturer and it's maybe her bum bum is already hot. Who told you that? If it's that easy to become a scholar by sleeping with, amen. If you have 14, one of my daughters here told me she has 14 courses. 14. How many lecturers do you want to speak to? You go just, how many lecturers? 14 courses. Ah, there's no way it will show that that person is into evil. So make sure you walk in the fear of God. And make sure your thinking is right. Don't think covetous thoughts. Don't think of luring somebody else's thing to yourself. How I wish this person's thing is my own. I heard the story of somebody who was starting ministry. I said, God called him to VI. I said, where are you going to start in VI? He said, God showed him one uncompleted big building that the owner must dash him. Kai, Jehovah. The owner must dash you. Is that faith or fake? Faith. Oh, faith. Okay. Let us wait and see. Praise the Lord. Let us think wrong thoughts like the prodigal son. Think right thoughts. Think positive thoughts. Don't think covetousness. And don't think lack. And number 7, where we stop tonight under the cost of poverty is lack of delayed gratification. I think that's one of the problems of the prodigal son too. He was not ready to delay his gratification. Never put enjoyment before assignment. Never put enjoyment before commitment. If you want to escape poverty, delay your gratification. What to gratify means to satisfy. To satisfy. Delay that satisfaction. Delayed gratification can always eliminate poverty. And delayed gratification simply means to endure now and enjoy later. Endure now, endure now, endure now, endure now, and enjoy later. Delayed gratification means to pay now and play later. You pay now. You work hard now and you play later. You work hard now and you play later. Not that you play now and you are working at your old age. You work now and you play in the future. Delayed gratification means to invest now and to harvest later. Invest now. You invest now. You put in your best now and you harvest later. You will soon enter into your season of harvest. And everybody will see it. I'd like to hear your amen. Invest now. Many like to show off. You see, delay your show off so that you will not become a write-off. Delay your show off now. What you cannot afford, don't bother to show it off. Delay your show off so that you will not become... Many have become a write-off because they showed up too early. They showed up too early, so they became a write-off. You will not become a write-off. I said you will not become a write-off. So delay your show off so that you will not be written off. And not becoming right off. Delay your gratification so that you can enjoy elevation. As I conclude tonight, in conclusion, what is my counsel to you tonight? Number one counsel is be a covenant practitioner. Covenant with God. Don't envy anybody. Find out what they are doing, which is the covenant, and tap into it perpetually. I told you some time ago, as a person, I can't remember the last time I did a 10% tithe. I can't remember. That must be a very long time ago. That is me as a person, by God's privilege and by God's grace. So struggling with giving of small money is a sign of wish, desire to stay perpetually inside poverty. That will never be your portion in Jesus' name. So be a covenant practitioner. Covenant. Some people do as if God doesn't understand calculation. They do as if God is not. God is the greatest mathematician. He understands how much he gave you. the one from uncle, the one from auntie, the one from parent, the one from husband, the one from this area, the one from business. You understand them? So calculate it, or else you stay at that level, and then you do your own part. Number two counsel is always ask for counsel before you take major steps in your life. Many don't have counsel. They don't have any pastor that counsels them. They don't have any person that is spiritually inclined. Their counselors are only those who want to exploit them. Who will ask money from them. So I've discovered some Christians don't enjoy pastors that don't bother them. Saying he doesn't have power. If he has power, he will be disturbing us and everybody stand up. 1 million. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 verse 25. Proverbs 16 verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So if you really want to escape, everything called death and everything called loss, have a counselor. Have if your senior pastor is busy, we have our resident pastors, we have other pastors and leaders in the house, we have the counseling department who can counsel you. I don't have the time to counsel everybody in this ministry, but we have senior people, people who have the Spirit of God, people who hate covetousness. Our pastors hate covetousness. They hate covetousness. They can't ask you for anything. Hey, please, as I pray for you now, when God bless you, you come and give me returns of what? Contented men, contented women that fear God. Let them counsel you. Show them what you, this is what I want to do. People will go into business. They just go into the business. No counsel, no prayer. Just go into the business. One of our sisters here recently wanted to take a decision on her business. And they sent the son to me. That, daddy, I want to do this. I want to do that. And I said, tell your mommy to come and see me. When she came, I said, don't do it. Don't close that business. That's not God's plan for you. This and this and this is what you should do. God bless you. It must work. Because it's a counsel from above without exploitation. You can't be into being in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 businesses within a space of 2, 3 years. Something is wrong. You are wasting money. You are wasting resources. You are wasting resources. Number three counsel is be a giver. Don't be stingy. And number four, where we stop tonight. Counsel to escape poverty. Love God and his house passionately. Love God and his house passionately. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. So we are meant to love God. And if you love God, you'll be blessed. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come to the heart of man what God has in store for them that love him. The love of God in your heart qualifies you to escape poverty. The love of God in your heart qualifies you to escape everything called poverty. My prayer for you tonight is that your hands will never be empty in life. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. Can I hear your loudest amen? I'd like to hear your loudest amen. Can I hear your loudest amen?
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.